Dirt and Sprague on Football Friday on 1080 The Fan.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two, right on the dot.
Look at that, huh? Stick that in your pipe and smoke it. You like that? You like that?
Right in the butt.
I am.
Talk about boring squirrels.
I've done my job.
The big wood's still in here.
See you later.
You're damn right it's still in here.
I think I'm going to walk off.
Mic drop, walk off right now.
That's
Friday.
It.
Football
good
Friday.
Luck to you guys.
Let's
see
go.
See you later.
My
damn
picks
it,
are 3-0.
Yeah, guaranteed. 3-0 picks.
What picks? Don't worry about it.
Don't worry.
3-0. I'll just tell you after the result.
I'm sweating. I'm already sweating over here. Every break, I'm sweating. I'm grinding. I'm sweating. Looking at numbers, matchups. Dude, I got nothing.
Dirt. We'll get to the Ducks here. Dirt drops during a commercial break. Quiet. We're both looking at stuff. We're show prepping still as the show's going on. And Dirt just goes, how does the under in Pittsburgh and Indianapolis not hit?
How does it not hit? 40 and a half. Anthony Richardson against that defense. Steelers can't score really on anybody.
Well, they will against Indy. Indy's defense is terrible.
Come on.
Look at their
stats. That under's got to hit. Give me the under, baby.
I think they're the worst rush defense in the NFL, or
right.
They're second to worst.
Not worry. That'll be a 20-17 final under, guaranteed.
We will spring the line at 8:30, so get those spring the line sponsors in to the Vancouver Ford text line, which is where you can reach the show. You can communicate. Somebody said to this caller in Tuscaloosa,
so I could wish my boot right up your ass.
I want to have a beer with that guy.
That guy would be fun to have a beer with.
He seems like a pretty reasonable Tuscaloosa Bama fan. Passionate,
yeah.
But welcoming.
Yeah, I had, I will say this. I've
see his boots.
Interacted, not Bama fan, but I've interacted with Auburn fan twice, at both in Dallas at the opener and then the national championship game in 2010. Very, very nice people.
Very nice.
Very welcoming.
Yeah.
And I went in thinking these people are going to be awful. And then you run into them at bars and you're like, oh, they're not that bad. You guys want to do a shot? All right.
If they're awful, they're at least do the awfulness privately.
Yes. Yeah, very true.
They close the door.
It's behind
and
closed
awful.
Doors awfulness. Yeah. Not out in public awfulness.
But you can reach us. Vancouver Ford text signs 503-864-6326. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them at VancouverFord.com. You can catch the show, of course, on 1080 AM 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, or YouTube. Good morning, YouTube.
Hello.
Dan Lanning and the Oregon Ducks coming off of their bye. I saw Oregon's declared their state vegetable. Our state vegetable is the potato.
Yeah.
I think it's because we beat everybody in the state of Idaho. Idaho State, Idaho, and Boise State.
That's all they got. They don't have any other schools, and so we're 3-0. We now own the potato.
We've stolen the vegetable from them.
You almost won, but almost doesn't count.
It does not.
Potatoes is our now.
Oregon is going to UCLA. They are a sizable favorite, as we talked about on the big pee-pee yesterday. 26 points last I saw.
I got 25.5 this morning.
So it's dropped a little bit. Okay. So Oregon is a 25-point favorite. What time will we be drinking our coffee or energy drink for the 8 o'clock kick? This is stupid late.
Stupid late. 8 o'clock is ridiculous.
I will be in bed at midnight. My wife will be snoring. Yeah. I'll be like, well, now I'm not having sex.
Nope.
And now I'm wondering why I'm still awake.
And then you're going to wake up at 5 a.m. on Sunday morning.
I'll be raising the blinds. We got poker night with the boys. Saturday night.
It's a good night to do it. You keep distracted. There's a couple of games on. You can kind of flip around. The night slate is actually decent. 8 o'clock just should be outlawed. Like, that's one thing I think all college fans can agree with. 7:30, whatever. You're pushing it a little bit. 7, I'm okay
with.
Just
think about how
8 o'clock kick should be illegal.
Michigan, Ohio State, Big Ten want to see what the Ducks are up to. 11 p.m. that thing kicks off.
Watching
but
that,
they're
man.
Psychos. They watch it.
Yeah, maybe they will on this one. I think
no,
maybe.
They will. We did the study. They did the study in the Seattle Times. This never hung on, and I never got it.
Well, this is later than I feel like even most Pac-12 after dark games are. Like, there were occasionally games at 8 o'clock.
But versus something starting at 11.
Starting at 11 p.m. Eastern.
I know you're
halftime
not.
Will be 1 o'clock in the morning.
I know you're not used to this.
The crew of the population that decides to go out at 11 o'clock is not the college football watching portion.
There
of
will
the
be
population.
A million people watching this game because now we're getting in the thick of conference play. These games matter to these sickos. The Seattle Times did a study, and the vast majority of their viewership from Pac-12 After Dark games, 7:30, 7, 7:45. You don't know that life. You're not a Beaver fan. I did.
Yeah.
They all came from the South.
Well, I think the rating on this game will matter. What does the first half look like? If you want to
I agree with that.
This game is 31-0 at halftime,
7 at halftime.
Nobody is staying awake for the second half of this game. On the East Coast, West Duck fans will and that kind of stuff, but on the East Coast you're not if it's uncomfortable, if this is Boise again and you're like, "Wait a minute. Why is Oregon only up 17-14 on UCLA at halftime? This is a 4-touchdown spread." Then people will stick around and watch to see if they get, you know, knocked out of the playoff race at 2 o'clock in the morning.
So you have an infant who may wake up at 2:30 a.m. because he needs mom's milk.
Yeah.
I usually wake up pretty early on Sunday mornings, the routine I have. What time will we be drinking coffee Saturday night?
There will be some mix in. I got to go to a wedding on Saturday, and so for me, it'll probably be mixed in. I'm going to see if they have like a mixed cocktail at the reception for like a little bit of Red Bull.
Espresso martini?
You know, yeah, a little martini, maybe a Red Bull, vodka, just something to give me a boost to get through this, because I learned this about myself last Friday when the Washington State San Jose State game was going on. I wanted to watch the second half of that game. I was even laying in bed. I was ready to go. And I got one series in, and I fell asleep three times at the start of the second half. So there's going to need to be some sort of supplementation to get me through the end of this game, because it's ridiculously late. And I do want to watch all of it, because if it goes according to plan, Oregon should hopefully have a comfortable win. We'll wait and see on that. They didn't the first 2 weeks of the year.
Mm.
But one of the reasons I like watching that stuff is they got a lot of really young, talented players that didn't get a chance to play in those first two games. Now, they got a cup of coffee against Oregon State, but I'm hoping to see some of those guys in the second half, and so I'll stay up and watch the whole thing.
So for I probably will too, because I don't want to come to the show Monday and it might be, I think I said yesterday, 55-17. It may be one of those games. Maybe it's a little closer than we're giving it credit. UCLA, I thought, played a little better at LSU than many were saying they would.
That's so hard to get a read on. Is that LSU just because then they outscored them 17-0 in the second half? Is that UCLA figuring something out? Is that LSU not caring?
LSU is like an 8-4 type team?
Yeah.
Don't we know that?
I think that's fair assessment.
Okay. 8-4 is not bad. Yeah. It's still LSU. It's still SEC. It's still Brian Kelly. I hear what you're saying. I still give them credit. They had gotten embarrassed by Indiana. Yeah. I thought they were going to get bludgeoned by LSU.
Yeah, score's the score.
And they had a chance there until they didn't. But I will stay up and watch the full experience, even if they're in a blowout. So I don't come in Monday and Dirt's like, "Well, actually, in the fourth quarter,
didn't see Dante Moore throw three tutties in the fourth quarter."
No, it's not.
Get my pants tied about 20-25.
It's gonna be some random lineman.
And if you actually go back to the camp reports, they were ranting and raving about this.
The number four tight end.
Yeah. And I'm gonna go, "Okay, cool."
Kenyon Sadiq scored three tutties in the third. What are we doing?
I heard he was Bowers, and I've barely heard his name this year.
Going to be Bowers. Not Bowers now. Going to be Bowers.
When you say the
be
name
patient,
Bowers.
Young grasshopper.
Okay.
What was Bowers doing as a sophomore?
You
nothing!
Got Herbert, and you've got Ferguson. So who's the number four tight end?
That's a good question. I don't know. Probably one of their freshmen.
See, that'll be the guy that you come
see
in who gets a couple
right.
of tutties late.
Saliapega, I think is how you say his last name.
Sure.
I think.
Great.
I think so.
I'll take your word on
there
that.
You go.
Go ahead and write that one down.
So we may be watching Saliapega at the end of this football game after we drink our coffee and then find out we didn't need to stay up and watch the whole thing.
And now I'm just wired till 2 a.m. for no reason.
By the way, the poll question is up. Should 8 p.m. kickoffs in college football be outlawed? Yes. WTF are we doing? No. Love late night and foosball.
Nobody wants 8 o'clock kicks. 7 o'clock, fine. 8 o'clock, no. 8 o'clock's too late.
Or are you just saying West Coast? Because there's a lot of 8 p.m. kicks back
there
Central
is.
Time.
They should be banned out there, too.
Okay.
Yeah, everybody. That's too late for everybody.
Dan Lanning, you mentioned this. Like, I think a lot of people off of the Civil War and then going into the bye concluded, yeah,
okay,
they're back. That's the team I thought I was going to see. They had two other games.
They did.
So the sample size actually outweighs
2-1
what they are so far. They have a real opportunity this weekend to kind of show us, okay, we're building off it. Here's Dan Lanning off of coming off the Civil War versus what the first two wins were.
Yeah, better. Yeah, it was better. Better than the first two and still not our best, right? So I think there were some real positives to take away there. I think we really, you know, offense had a lot of success each drive. Which is a positive, you know. I think special teams still played, you know, well and made some big kicks. And defense, I thought, really came together in the second half. And so, you know, what I keep talking to our team about is like, I'm not interested in us playing our best football right now. I'm interested in us getting better every single game, right? As long as we're getting better every single game, and then by the time we get to Thanksgiving, like, hopefully, we're starting to see like this is our best ball. But you know, I don't think you expect to skip step 1, 2, and 3 and get to, you know, step 10, right? Like it's a progression. And the key is, are we getting better every single week? And I think so far we've been able to do that this season.
So there was Lanning on with Primetime yesterday, as he is every Thursday at 4 o'clock. And the interesting thing here is not only like, hey, do you build off of, you know, what you were and what you showed against Oregon State?
Yeah.
But you go in this game and it's almost a universal, I think, opinion. And maybe I'm not reading the duck room correctly. Should be a blowout. Should be a game we win by a substantial margin. Like, yeah. I think people, it took all of one game.
We're back, baby.
We're back.
We are back.
Playoff conversation. They're in playoff projections for most people. Yeah. But to me, I think, if I'm to take a 30,000-foot view, I just look at the next two games, UCLA and then Michigan State. And I don't look at those per se and say, well, opponent, test, all this, yada, yada, yada. One, they're much lesser opponents than you on paper. How do you handle that? Because you came in against Idaho and looked like you just didn't care at all about Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
And then Boise State was supposed to be your bounce-back win against a team you had substantially more talent than, and they kind of kicked your ass in some ways and tested you. Okay, well, then you beat Oregon State, then you go into a bye. These 2 weeks are your Ohio State ramp-up weeks. This is, I would imagine, when Dan Landingdirt is saying to himself, his coaching staff, and even to the players, we need to lock in. We need to be getting to who we are, because the Buckeyes are coming to town in, 3 weeks?
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting answer from him on where his team's at and what he's telling his team. And I would be curious to know, and he'd never answer this, but has the message changed at all with the format structure of the sport this year?
Not like, a chance in hell messages changed.
No, I'm just saying, like, when you say, I want to be playing you always want to be playing your best ball at the end of the year, obviously. Going into the playoffs, that's you going into bowl games and conference championships, that's when you want to be at your best. But I think there's an aspect in this model now where style points don't matter as much as they used to. It's not four teams. You're not looking over point differential. You're not looking, oh, they had that one close game, but this team didn't have that one close game. So Right. Are they a four or are they a five? Are they the outside looking in? Like, I thought it was very interesting, his honesty of like, dude, I'm not looking for us to be our best right now. I'm looking for us to get better every week and to peak at the end of the season. And that's where I'm curious if that has changed at all, because you just don't have the same pressure week in and week out that you used to with a 14 playoff format, where if you lose a game like this or have a close game, that could be held against you come playoff time, and that's not really the case anymore. I do think fans are in the mindset of this should be a blowout, partially because Oregon showed you what you thought you would see against Oregon State, and they dominated that game. Partly because UCLA sucks. Like, this is just a bad football team. Ethan Garbers is a veteran quarterback. He's been around a long time. They can't run the football at all. They're leading rusher on the year. Their leading running back through, three games has 72 yards.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have a run longer than 14 yards on the season.
And Garbers is more a mobile guy.
He's more of a mobile guy. They have, through their first, three, one and two, I think they played
one
three
and
games.
Two, yeah.
They have one rushing touchdown in three games, man. Like, this is not a good team. And so, yeah, if it's close and uncomfortable, that's a problem. And it will revert back to the way that you looked in the first 2 weeks. But I will reiterate what I said out of the Boise game, and I thought it rung true in the Civil War, and that is, the primary reason in my mind why that game was close and uncomfortable, Ashton Gentry, yes, is incredible, but it was Oregon doing a lot of things to hurt themselves. And when you play a team with lesser talent than you, if you do things to beat yourselves, you will allow them an opportunity to stay in the game. And they didn't do that against Oregon State, and the final score was 49-14. So where are the offensive line penalties? Are they where they were under Boise or where they were under Oregon State? Where are the turnovers? Do you turn it over twice like you did against Boise,
right,
or zero times against Oregon State? If you do stupid things, you will allow teams to play with you. They learned that lesson the hard way the first 2 weeks of the season. What was so reassuring is that they at least showed you they're capable of playing clean football. Now it's about, can you go do it again and do it again and do it again the rest of the way? Because they showed you what they're capable of against Oregon State.
We hear from Dan Lanning his thoughts on who UCLA is so far, 1-2. To your point, Garbers had minus 51 rushing yards because of the sack totals.
Yeah, it's
so their rushing total got knocked. Not that it was great anyway, but minus 51 will knock it substantially down.
And they literally can't run the football.
I'm thinking back to that game. So I had the quad on, and this was one of the games that I would kind of go back and forth on having my quad, And every time I looked up, they'd have a run. And I go, man, look at them on the ground.
Here comes the UCLA.
And then when they went up double digits, LSU, I checked out of that game. And I look at their box score and I go, well, okay, I thought they were running the football. Well, it turns out they weren't.
I think this is a game where you can see your edge rushers hopefully dominate. You haven't really, you know, Idaho had to throw the ball a little bit. Boise State just leaned on Gentee. Oregon State, we knew, wanted to run the football a ton. This is a game where you can force them into a lot in third and longs and let those guys tee off on Garbers.
We'll get Lanning's thoughts on who UCLA is and winning a game on the road with quite the answer yesterday on primetime. So we'll get to that coming up next. More Dan Lanning, more college football talk as well. Huskies are playing tonight in Piscataway, New Jersey. We'll get to that. Sprague and Line at 8:30. Dirt and Sprague back with more on The Fan. He's had some breaking news for Washington football. They play at Rutgers tonight. We'll get to that.
Interesting timing. Was he on the plane or did he, I hope, make this decision before they left? That's a long flight.
It's just a trend that sucks. I hate this. I don't care who you hate or who you like in college football. This is not a big deal to most people until it is because it's their team. This is, yeah, it's this week especially, it's something that's been popping up in that sport. We'll tell you what that news is coming up. We will Sprague the Line at 8:30, so get those Sprague the Line sponsors in. I want to get to more Dan Lanning on UCLA very quickly. Happy anniversary. Do you guys know what the one-year anniversary of today is?
One-year anniversary of today.
Exactly a year to go today.
September,
what were we talking about?
Seven. In football, I'm assuming, would have been early. What, Oregon's win over Colorado? No, that did happen about a year ago.
Nope.
No.
1 year ago today, Swag has no guess.
No guess. No clue.
1 year ago today, we were talking about how Damian Lillard was traded.
Oh, that was the year today.
Year to go today.
Wow. I remember where I was. I was at a park throwing a ball to my dog, and my brother-in-law texted me.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, I need to go home now. This actually
happened.
You
put the ball in your mouth and you walked home with your head.
Bubba, we're going home, buddy.
Happy anniversary.
Yes.
Scoop.
Yes.
I want to get to this very quickly before I get the other landing audio. I don't know if you caught this earlier this week. Venables on his coaches. I think it was his coaches.
I did see this on Dylan Gabriel. Yeah.
Yeah. He was willing to talk about Dylan Gabriel.
I like Brent Venables, man. He's kind of an open
book.
Very
likable.
Very likable guy.
Underrated zaddy.
Yeah, good-looking dude.
Dude is good-looking.
Fit, he's running the stairs.
Great hair, yeah. Like great jawline, fit as a fiddle.
We've been blown and gone.
And, you know, he's willing to talk about this stuff. And he didn't throw Gabriel under the bus, but he did talk about how this all transpired. And so they recounted this, and he basically said that he asked for a meeting following their finale against TCU. And in the meeting, Gabriel outlined his plan to transfer in large part because he said he wanted to get closer to home. Now, he also cited that their offensive coordinator, Jeff Lebby, had left, and he had a really good relationship with him.
Yeah, he left to be the head coach in Mississippi State.
He thought his Oklahoma season would boost his NFL draft odds, and I mentioned this preseason of, like, is this a thing? And to your point, I think you said something effective, like, I don't think that's a thing. I think it's a big thing for him. And so he was disappointed with his draft grade, and so he highlighted these things with Venables and said, I'm going to leave, and I'm not going to play in the Alamo Bowl. And Venables said, quote, I did not know at the time that he wasn't going to the NFL. I didn't even know I had to fight this fight. I didn't even realize that you were even considering coming back. And he says, yeah, but I just want to get closer to home. We hugged and shook hands. He was a little emotional, and I was. It was a really good and positive experience. You can't make a guy stay. The guy is trying to find the next thing, the next chapter for him. I'm sure there was probably some disappointment that Gabriel wasn't more highly thought of in the NFL. He had an amazing year, fantastic quarterback,
yeah.
But we didn't run anybody off or things like that, end quote. So he actually pushes back on the whole, we were going to make Jackson Arnold the starter.
Yeah, I'm glad he did that.
And Gabriel has to go. He was just surprised Gabriel was going to keep playing college football.
I'm glad he did that, man, because that's been, and I've run with the narrative too, both there and at Kansas State, that they had these vets with five-star quarterbacks behind them, and they were ready to hand the reins over, and that's the way the sport works now. And he said, no, that wasn't the case. He decided to transfer on his own. And Gabriel was asked about it too.
Because his mom was the one that started this narrative. That,
yeah.
That she, Gabriel's mom, had said basically that Arnold's emergence within the program is kind of what helped drove him out.
And you know, some of that stuff too might just be a guy wanting to not ruin his reputation to a fan base, right? Or he was beloved in Oklahoma the way he won the game against Texas last year on that last, you know, minute drive, that you don't want to ruin that relationship. And so maybe some of that was protective on his side. He was asked about it in media availability this week too, and he didn't really want to get in. He was like, I'm just kind of focused on where I'm at right now. But he said he'd been going and getting closer to home was a big part of it, and so he is technically closer to Hawaii. And I also think the other part you got to remember is that this is his dream place. Like, he grew up idolizing Marcus Mariota and wearing an Oregon uniform. He probably knew that they were going to be looking for a quarterback in the transfer portal. There may or may not have been contact prior to that. I don't know. But I think he knew that there would be a good landing spot for him in a place that he's always dreamed of playing.
Here was Dan Lanning yesterday on what it's like to win on the road.
Oh, there's no better feeling in the world than going to somebody else's, you know, house and saying, you know what, I'm going to cook on your grill. Why don't you just back up? I'm cooking on your grill. We're going to make you guys quiet. Like, that's a great.
Yeah, there's no better feeling than going into somebody's house.
Cooking on your grill.
Cooking on the grill. What would you do if you walked into your house?
I'd be a little upset at you. Like,
and I was cooking on your grill.
Get the hell off my grill, bro.
Swag, what would you do if you walked into the condo?
You don't know how to turn my smoker on. You don't know what to do. You don't know what you're doing. How many pellets are in there? You check your pellets?
Hey, Andy, how you doing? I just walk in with, like, a one-piece bathing suit. Bikini style. I just walk in.
Speedo.
Hey.
What up, man?
Hey.
How you doing? Let's fire up the grill.
Smoking meat.
I'll walk in there. Let me show you how to utilize this thing.
Come on. Give me those tongs. Let's go. Give me those tongs, baby. I love that analogy. Then he added later that it, you know, one step further is asking the person's wife to make you a cocktail, too, while you're grilling on their grill. And that's the feeling of winning on the road. The good news, at least for him this week, is you're not really going on. I mean, you're going on the road.
This is going to be a home game.
But you're not really going on the road.
We know Brody
fans. It's Rose Bowl's a great venue.
They're 1-2. That fan base has quit already.
They have been permanently quit for about 30 years now.
30.
So, yeah, unless LSU's in town or you're playing USC, I don't think you're getting more than 400 UCLA fans.
How big is that LA alumni base chapter for
pretty damn
the
big.
Ducks? Because they're Cade all going to be
play
there.
UCLA.
Pretty damn big, man.
When was Cade McNown quarterbacking?
Cade McNown? Oh, God.
I would say that's the last time I feel like UCLA fan cared about football.
Yeah, I mean, you can argue it was the last time they were good at football.
There were actually Bruin fans of that LSU game, and I'm like, did you guys just show up not being LSU fans and decide to wear the other colors, or are you really a UCLA fan?
I think that was more about Baton Rouge is a cool place to go. Let's go. We're looking for a vacation, go tailgate, okay. Eat some alligator.
There's UCLA grads all over the country, okay. My guess is.
He was at UCLA from 1995 to 1998.
That would sum up the last time that you asked me in my life I thought UCLA fan cared, I'd say then.
Yeah.
That point right there.
That seems pretty valid. I think the biggest thing you circle this weekend will be, unfortunately, the thing you circle for every week to come. Don't have a lot of questions about a lot of things on this team. Does the offensive line do it again? Do they look like
they should. UCLA has no pass.
They should. They don't have much of a pass rush. The only positive stat on UCLA is I think they're top 20 in the country and slowing down the run. So,
LSU had 102.
They had 102 yards on them, and that's supposed to be one of the better offensive lines in the country in LSU. So that's the only thing you circle in this game. It's the biggest question mark about this team, and I will reiterate what I've said all year. If they don't reach their ultimate goals, that will likely be the position group that they fall short of. So go out and dominate an inferior opponent the way you should up front, and Oregon wins this game by 28.
I think, though, so far, three games in, you would agree they're a better passing team than running team.
Who, Oregon is?
Yeah.
It's not even close.
And their pass protection against Oregon State was pretty good. UCLA's not, I think, known as a sack monster, so even if your run game's slightly slowed down, though, I don't think that's going to happen because Jordan James is amazing. And
you should have enough in the passing game. But it's just one of those, like, if UCLA can slow down your run...
What's slow down? What's the number in the box score for you in total rushing yardage?
To me, it's not even necessarily a total number.
It's just a look?
Because I think it'll pile up as the game goes on, especially if you play with a lead. You're going to run the ball a lot in the second half.
But I don't think Gabriel should be sacked.
I think
it's more
per carry average.
It's a yard per carry average. It's just a feel. Like, when they're running the ball.
Because if they stack the box and Dylan Gabriel decides, all right, I'm throwing like 8-yard slants and guys are taking it 25 yards, then that's the offensive game plan because I can count numbers.
Yeah, based on the look you're getting.
But if you're only getting, you know, 3.5 yards per rush when you try to run, then I think that's a concern whether or not you have 100 or 200 yards rushing at the end of the game.
Are you having to break a tackle to get a 4-yard gain?
Mm.
Or are you consistently like, okay, that was a good size hole? Not every run has to be a 30-yard run or a 70-yard touchdown.
But if you're getting 5.5 yards a rush, then that looks like the Ducks.
Exactly.
Should be 7.
Should you want seven?
I think
nothing less than seven.
I mean, you're staying up for 8 o'clock. You should be demanding.
I demand seven. I'm gonna be a zombie on Sunday. You better run the damn ball Saturday night.
Largely, the feeling is Oregon should smoke UCLA in this game. The point spread suggests as much. The talent gap. We've seen UCLA play football.
I think you'd like we'll to find see out them. That. I think Ducks fans would like to see them be like go time from the opening kickoff.
Yeah, don't come out lethargic.
Don't
and
play
look,
with your food.
Yeah,
don't just have go it out be there 7-3 and take care at the end business. Of the first quarter.
Dirt, yep. What time will we... Oh, you're not doing pregame this week, right?
No,
you're
I'm going off. To a no. wedding. So I am off, yeah.
4 okay. o'clock.
Okay, 4
game
o'clock.
Game day will begin.
Schultz's doing it.
Basketball coverage on The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use your savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. We will Sprague the Line an hour from right now. So get the Sprague the Line sponsors in to the Vancouver Ford text line 503-864-6326. More college football, a little bit of breaking news for the Huskies. They play tonight at Rutgers. We got some NFL to dive into. It's a good weekend of NFL on the slate. Loaded hour and a half of the show. Dirt and Sprague back with more.
All right, welcome back in. 7:35 on your Football Friday. I want to get to my NFL pressure cooker coming up. The three teams facing the most pressure in the NFL this weekend. Nice little Friday night of college football, though. Virginia Tech Miami will probably suck, but it's
stop.
Something to be on your TV.
Stop.
When are we going to learn our lesson from doing that?
Oh, come on.
We do that in so many games.
Stop.
Georgia, Kentucky. What would you have said if I would have brought that game up?
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. Okay.
UCF is
okay.
better than Virginia Tech.
They are better than Virginia Tech.
Or USF.
USF.
Me.
Probably better than Virginia Tech.
And they were winning for yeah. a okay chunk of that Miami game before yeah. Miami blew them
Kentucky
out.
Kentucky got dominated by South Carolina.
They did.
And then
I
almost beat
that.
Georgia.
Almost doesn't count.
I mean, they did almost win the game.
Would you hate Dan Lanning?
Idaho almost beat my team.
Can I ask you, would you hate Dan Lanning if he showed up and he was grilling on your grill?
No. Come on in, buddy. Fire up the grill.
You just walk in your house.
Hey,
and
what's up, Dan?
You didn't even know he was at your house?
As long as he's cooking a good steak, I'm all for it, Dan. You can come grill on my grill whenever you want, buddy. Come on in, man. I'll make you a cocktail.
So you're putting the possibility there could be an upset tonight.
No, I'm just saying I think we do this far too often in football, especially, where we look at games and just kind of laugh it off like, oh, no chance. And Miami will likely win this game. But it's not nothing's a foregone conclusion. It's football. Are we going to sit here and pretend that Mario hasn't had a random clunker game and didn't lose to a 3-9 Stanford team?
I saw that happen.
That happened. I witnessed that game live. So I don't want to even talk about that game. I'm just saying I'm excited to watch it, and it'll probably be over at halftime.
You're really excited to watch that?
Football, man. I'm excited for anything football right now. I'm all in. I watched every second of that game. That game was so bad last night.
It was not good.
There was 30,000 flags. It was terrible. And I watched every second of it.
Yeah.
No, the game that I think we're more excited for in this pocket is the game tonight in Piscataway, New Jersey. And that is Washington's going on the road to play Rutgers. One bit of Husky news this morning just came across, I think On3 was the first outlet to report this. Brian Parham, who is one of their senior linebackers.
One of their best tacklers.
Yeah, I think he's top 7 or 8 on the team in tackles. He has announced he is entering the transfer portal and will redshirt the rest of the season. He has 210 career tackles. He transferred from San Jose State, played 3 games as a Husky, and now is, peace, I'm out.
What a week. It's a weird week of this, where you had the Sluka kid come out from UNLV. That was followed up by a running back.
Yes.
Reportedly separate issues, and then you have all this conversation of NIL and pay, and do you trust, put it on paper, and today, the day of a game, and I'm assuming Jed Fish, these programs know about this stuff.
Imagine he's not on the flight to New Jersey.
He's not in Jersey right now, but like to have this drop the day of a game, you know, one of your leading tacklers is out because he's going to go cash in a payday. What a weird week for college football with this story specifically. Redshirting after the season starts. And what? I think the running back, the quarterback, and this dude, you're talking about 3 seniors.
Yeah.
So
looking for one last chance. It
sucks, but like, he 7th in the league on the team in tackles?
Yeah, on the season he has 11 total tackles, and that's, you know, there's obviously Bruner's their top
total?
Guy. 11
okay.
total tackles.
Okay, so I saw a stat that said 200
in his career
total
in his
tackles.
Career.
It's so weird how this is all happening in the same week.
Yeah, and all of these are different too. Like I didn't read this one necessarily as this is a guy that thinks he's going to cash in financially. I imagine that this one to me is very similar to Bear Alexander, where either A, he's not happy with his playing time, or doesn't think he'll have playing time, and so
yeah, maybe that's what it is.
He's like, dude, I'm not gonna play. This is my last year of eligibility, and if I don't play this year, he wants to go have an opportunity or a crack somewhere else. It just is a very weird dynamic where you get this at the end of the year, and hopefully once we get through kind of the next 2 weeks that a lot of these will be done, because once you play in more than four games, you can't redshirt anymore. So a lot of these decisions had to be made now of, do I want to keep playing or not? It's just, it's weird. It's weird for the team dynamic. Like, you've been grinding with a guy all of training camp in that position room, building a relationship with him. He's a new transfer. And then a month into the season, it's just like, all right, guys, I'm cleaning out my locker. I'm gone. He just didn't used to see that in the sport. And so, interesting news for the Huskies. But they do go on the road tonight and take on Rutgers, a team that has been decent to start the year. They run the football efficiently. That Virginia Tech team I'm talking about, they beat them last week down in Blacksburg, 26-23. And I think this is a fun indicator game early on for Washington and their fans and for Jed Fish. A win tonight, man,
A long way.
Not going to wash away the taste from losing the Apple Cup the way that they did, but there is a lot of people up there who I think are rational Husky fans who are genuinely raising eyebrows at Fish for the play calling and some of the decisions he made late in that game. He has the honeymoon phase, if you will say, is over for him in Seattle. A win tonight would go a long way to repair that damage that he did in the Apple Cup.
I mean, I think it's as simple to say, like, can you run the football?
And they should be. Jonah Coleman's a beast. They should be able to.
Well, Jonah Coleman is a beast. Do you know where Rutgers is just in the Big Ten in rushing stats?
I do not. In running the ball offensively or stopping
defensively?
It? I do not know.
Defensively, Rutgers is 16th.
Yeah. That's not good, Bob. How many teams are in the Big Ten?
18.
18 teams.
You know who's worse than them? Can you guess the two worse than them?
Oh, God. Well, Purdue has to be.
Absolutely.
Because back-to-back, like, 400 rushing yard performances.
I was a little surprised looking at this because the narrative on this team is,
I know it's
flipping.
Not UCLA because narrative, USC.
Penn State, people been, oh, who is it?
USC.
USC.
And I last week certainly didn't help, especially with that, 60-yard run at the end of the game.
Riley tried to come out and say, it was only three good runs. We stopped him on every other one. And people were like, well, that wasn't really the case.
Well, the three was, you know, the game-deciding run.
This is the loss of the game. You didn't stop there.
Yeah, so Rutgers, like, they're coming in, I think, nationally. Nationally, they're coming in with a bit of a reputation. Shiano defense, run the football, Rutgers football. They're not good statistically.
No.
So
they are, though, their number one rushing offense in the conference.
Yes, they are. Can you control tempo, time of possession? Like the Giants losing last night, not to take this to football, the NFL, but
totally fine.
The Giants should have won the game based on time of possession. They had the football more. Time of possession is a huge indicator in winning football games. It's not always a given. But Washington has a real opportunity tonight. Establish Jonah Coleman, have the ground game going, ease Will Rogers in. Will Rogers can dial. And if you can control the clock, you control the tempo, control all of it, there's an opportunity here. I think this is a tough one because it's short week, going all the way to Jersey.
Yeah, long road trip.
It's going to be a big, you know, national game that everybody in Jersey is getting up for. Tony Soprano Jr. is going to be there.
Is he really?
No, not
no. That'd be kind of funny if he was.
I mean, they should play into
they
it.
They should, on every game.
They should be coming out to the intro song for the Sopranos.
Woke up this morning, yeah, got myself a good.
Yeah. But I think it's a tough spot. You have an opportunity, though, to control things if you can run the football. And statistically speaking, you should be able to run the football.
Yeah, I have a hard time looking at the Huskies and figuring out. Will Rogers is a good quarterback. He's not bad by any stretch of the imagination. Why you're, and maybe it's saving it for later in the year thing. I don't get it. Why is Jonah Coleman not getting 25 carries a game? He's one of the best backs in my mind in the country. I think you watch Arizona this year.
Washington's fifth in passing offense.
Yeah, I mean, they can throw it. I know, I get it. But Jonah Coleman's averaging almost 7 yards a carry.
No, I'm not questioning.
He only has one touchdown since he had three against Weber State in week one. Congratulations. He has one since then.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a game this year with more than 16 carries. And those came against your worst opponent in week one against Weber State. So is he banged up behind the scenes? Are you trying to save him for later in the year? You could have used him. In the Apple Cup, he had 14 carries for 75 yards.
I thought there was way too little carries.
What are we doing here,
dude?
Yeah. I'm giving that guy the rock 20 to 25 times a game, bare minimum, unless he's banged up. You give me the Rutgers rushing numbers. If I'm a Husky fan tonight, I am screaming, run the football. They have played their best opponent this year is Virginia Tech. Their other wins came against Akron and Howard. So
I watched the Howard game. It was their opener.
That's your three-game sample size, and you're 16th in the conference in rushing defense. There is no excuse to not run the ball 40 times tonight.
Yes.
And, again, Will Rogers is not bad, but I don't quite understand their identity, man.
I think their offense should be good.
They're settling for too many field goals in the red zone. That's been their bugaboo. They've had a lot of penalties. That's been the other issue. But I think teams should form an identity by this time in the season, and I look at them, and I don't quite know what their identity is, and it should be handing the ball off to Jonah Coleman on every play.
They're 11th right now in red zone conversion rate.
That's not
in the Big Ten.
In the Big Ten, yeah, not in the country. But country's not, that's not bad. Big Ten, that's bad.
You know who's worse than them?
Who's worse than them? My
Rutgers.
Team? Yeah, Rutgers.
No, but like the point, if you go look at all these stats, like the rushing offensive thing for Rutgers, because Rutgers wants to run the football.
Yes.
Like that's the entire identity of Rutgers. They average 255 yards a game.
Yeah, Manungai is a very similar back to Jonah Coleman.
He's being talked about in the draft. He's a short, wrecking ball of a running back. Almost all these other stats, you have an advantage.
Yes.
But the difficulty to your Miami, Virginia Tech point, college football's dumb.
It's weird. It's funky.
And it's a short week, and you had to go all the way to Jersey.
Well, and similar to what I've said about my team early in the season, and Husky fan will try and scream this. It's ironic after making fun of Oregon fan for doing it last year, but they will tell you they lost the Apple Cup. The Washington State didn't win it. We lost the game. Penalties, bad drives, bad play calls. We were the better team. We should have won that game. It's funny when the shoe's on the other foot, and we argue it when that was laughed at last year. But are you going to do dumb stuff? Are you going to do things to beat yourself tonight? If you do, Rutgers can easily beat you. But a lot of these numbers tell you that Washington should win this football game.
Yeah.
It just depends on what team will show up. Quickly before we go, Swag, can you pull up the Rutgers roster sheet real quick and give me a pronunciation on their starting quarterback? Because I would like to know the answer to that question. Do you want to take a stab at it?
I'll take a stab at the
Rutgers last name of their starting quarterback. He has 6 touchdowns and 1 interception. He's having a decent year for them this year.
Kaliakamanis.
Okay, I like that. Sounded good. Float off the tongue.
You know, I said that somewhat confidently. I have heard it.
He has 6 touchdowns through 3 games. That's not bad.
I'm pulling up the game notes for pronunciation.
Oh, a pronunciation guy.
That's what I love about the old game notes.
The Hooked on Phonics reading of it.
Yeah.
Sound it out in syllables for me, please.
When I covered Oregon State for a year, BYU came to town.
Yeah.
I looked at that thing for a straight hour, just saying it slowly.
Every time I call a Winterhawks game, I have to do that where I write my game notes out, and I don't ever write the players' actual names.
No.
I write it phonetically on my game notes.
I do that on my show
to make sure that I don't mispronounce it. Because if I can say it, it's not the same as then I'll read it and 100%. I'll read it a different way because that's not the way that it sounds.
Yes.
Take a shot, Swag. You see his last name?
All right, hang on. Football roster.
Give it a shot. I think Sprague was pretty close.
I think I'm right.
There's no, it goes K to M, which makes it complicated. Kaliakamanis. It's weird to have a K and then an M.
I then, and his last name is Kaliakmanis.
Kaliakmanis?
Kaliakmanis.
Manis.
Okay. Manis.
Yeah. Kaliakmanis.
Okay. Kaliakmanis.
So learn that one tonight. He's the Rutgers quarterback.
Would be Kaliakmanis. But I don't think so. Okay. Kaliakmanis.
I can't wait for him to throw 2 picks, do nothing, and we wasted a minute and a half saying his last name.
Or you could lose it, this guy who we can't even pronounce his last name. So we'll see how that game goes. Excited for it tonight, Washington on the road at Rutgers. 180 is basically begging your conference to do this. Will they do it? That's next on The Fam.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure?
Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
All right, crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. I appreciate all the people now telling me the games that have been won without scoring a touchdown.
This team blows.
Yes, I know. It does happen. It was a tongue-in-cheek comment in the report there.
Also, somebody, a good point by a listener, have a segment, how white can you sound?
Ooh, very white.
I don't know if we could top the end of that last segment.
It was pretty white.
And I believe he's a Minnesota transfer.
He's a gopher, eh?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, your school has been in the news a lot this week because of what your conference is trying to do, and it seems like they're a little bit lost at the sea. Where do we go now? UNLV said no the other day. Some of the details on that binding agreement they've signed with the Mountain West have leaked out, and so it's like, all right, you had made the comment on the show yesterday, like, just take a step back. Take a deep breath. Let's see where this thing goes, okay? You don't have to have a conference until 2026.
And then I got home and I said, let's add Sacramento State.
Yes, dude, they're going all in. They're funding their teams. They're going to build a new stadium.
If you care about TV market, you'd be in Sacramento. They're building a new stadium. They'd probably take a lesser share to be in. You need one team to be a conference. Like, I don't know. I'm all over the place on this stuff. It's
it over with. Be patient. Yeah, this team, not that team. Wait, this team. Well, how about this from the AD at Memphis? So, this one blew me away yesterday. This is Ed Scott. He is the athletic director at Memphis, who, remember, earlier this week, they said no to the Pac-12's efforts, their flirtations.
Tuesday.
Yeah. Said no. He was asked about why and how it went. Here is the Memphis AD.
A lot of folks, and some of you in the media, candidly, want us to go to be great, and sometimes you got to be great to go, right? And so when I hear people say, I'm not going to buy tickets, I'm not going to support the programs, you're not really hurting me. You're hurting the student athletes, right? And you're hurting the people that are on the field playing. And that's really, really important for me. So where does this go? If y'all haven't seen the latest reports of what's going on between the Mountain West and the Pac 6, 7 right now, this is a fluid situation, right? So that's the other thing. When we talk about the decision that was made by the University of Memphis to not join the Pac, as I like to call them right now at this time, that was not a binary decision. That was not a no, we're not ever going anywhere. That was based on the offer that was presented in front of us, that we're not taking that offer because we don't think less of ourselves. And I came here for a reason. You heard me in the press conference. You've heard me in any interview I've done. I'm bullish on Memphis's future. And so I think sometimes we get enamored by the new and we want to take a bad deal. And that deal was not a good deal for the University of Memphis. It certainly wasn't a good deal for our athletic department. And most importantly, it was a really, really bad deal for our Olympic sport.
Just openly saying up the deal and we're in your conference.
Yeah, give us more money.
Are you going to up the deal and will they be in your conference?
I did love the way he phrased it. We don't think less of ourselves.
right, that was
offensive what you guys offered.
I mean, so for those who don't remember the reporting, the buyout of the leaving the conference early is like $26, $27 million, somewhere in that range for them. And the Pac-12 reportedly, according to Ross Dellinger, offered to cover $2.5 million of that. That, I guarantee you, is what we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, look, this thing, it's been a bothersome topic for me for over a week. You could argue a calendar year.
I would say a calendar year, yeah.
But especially the last couple weeks, it feels like it's been ramping up. Now, the report came out yesterday, last night. The Mountain West is trying to poach NIU and Toledo for football only.
People are pissed, dude. Don't touch the MAC, man. MACtion should not be touched.
It sounds like they're listening.
They definitely will listen.
And I'd be curious to see, because we're all making a grave mistake here. Okay, not a grave mistake in saying, oh, well, the Pac-12 is now on the same level as the Big 12. I think the mistake we're making is concluding who is stupid and who's not stupid. And, like, none of this stuff is fully settled yet. You just heard the AD of Memphis basically say without saying, you pay more money, you probably get us. They didn't sign the grant of rights. They just announced the loyalty.
It was a public loyalty thing, display of loyalty, nothing binding.
And the Mountain West may beat the Pac-12 to get to 8 by adding NIU and Toledo.
It does nothing for you.
Well, I mean, NIU's a good program. Yeah. Toledo, I don't know what to make of Toledo. I don't have enough information on it. My point is, like, we're all concluding things when things haven't been concluded. I don't know where this is going. I don't know who they had. I jokingly, but also wouldn't be shocked. Sacramento State seems desperate. All right, you elevate them. They've got a stadium now. All right, I don't know what you do there. So it's just all this stuff it's kind of an annoyance to me and dumb. None of it makes sense, and
no.
None of it is fully settled. That's why it's like it's weird to conclude what's happened. Phase two didn't look good. I don't know
This is a way to save it, though, I would say.
Does phase three look good?
Yeah, is that going to be phase three or a revisit of phase two?
I hate not giving a definitive opinion, but none of this is defined yet.
Yeah, if I were them, I would just say, call them back. Like, what is it going to take, dude? If we cover $10 million of the $26 million, will that get it done?
Well, I think they got to wait and see if this lawsuit against the Mountain West has any... If they don't have to pay those poaching fees, then it's like, okay, now
you got some more money to spend.
Some more money.
Because I would ask the question, is it worth it to spend a little bit more up front and add, you know, let's say that original plan of Memphis, UTSA, Tulane, and South Florida, and we're going to cover, you know, $10 million for each of you, so it's an extra $40 million.
You're going to go from 2 to 10?
I mean, if what's it going to take to get it? Like, what's more important to you?
$32 million.
It's a massive increase financially. I get that, but is that worth it for you in the short term?
I don't know.
More so than adding Sacramento State and UTEP. And to me, it would. If I were a fan, it would be. It's not my money, so I'm spending somebody else's money on the show. Very easy to spend somebody else's money.
Hard
not
for
your
me
own.
To know dirt when the people in charge don't seem to know.
Yeah, and that's very true because you don't know what the total finances are going to be with all the Mountain West stuff going down. I just thought that was hilarious. It seemed like it was kind of settled; they weren't going to leave. And then here's the Memphis AD doing an interview like, "Up your offer, and we'll come join your conference."
Yeah, people viewed that as him trying to crap on the conference. I viewed it as like a way to say, "Pay me more money,
dude." And I think you also hinted at it. He hinted at it there. Their fans are livid over this.
Gary Parrish.
Livid.
Gary Parrish is a media member. He's been a longtime Memphis guy. He does a radio show over there. He had a big like minute and a half rant on his show, and it kind of got some traction yesterday. I should have pulled it. But he basically just ranted about how stupid it was to stay in the AAC instead of going to the Pac-12.
There was a game last night in the AAC. Did anybody know that was happening?
I didn't know a game had happened.
They played last night. There was a game. It was, I believe, Army. Let me see who they were playing. And I saw a screen grab of the stands.
I think I saw the Army notification. Did they win?
Army at Temple.
Army at Temple.
Crushed the Owls 42-14.
Army, by the way, keep an eye on them for the dirty pool next week. The Black Knights might be making a run in an at-large bid here, or a group of five bid, I should say.
They might get the highest automatic qualifier, group of five, and then still be able to lose a game.
Yeah, they could. There was like 53 people there, and this was trending on social media of like, Memphis, do you want, like, I get that the Pac-12 is not a power this is the conference you want to play in. There's nobody there, nobody cares, like, why? So fans are pissed. Maybe they up the offer. I thought that was interesting from the Memphis AD openly flirting with the Pac-12, saying give us more money and we will happily join your conference, and maybe they can save face and have something happen there. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. Sprague in the Line coming up at 8:30. Get your fake sponsors in, 503-864-6326. Got a couple of final notes on the weekend of college football. Let's start though with the NFL pressure cooker. Loaded final hour to go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fam.